This is probably going to turn out to be a test, but I'm going to see if this is going to come out. Today I was on the way home from spending time with my family. I had a full stomach, you know, I'm driving the rental I got, like a 2015 fully loaded car, roof. Music was good, sun was setting, belly was full. I was in a fairly semi-euphoric state, and I was thinking to myself, you know, Jeffrey, you've been fairly cynical lately, fairly hard-edge critical. I wouldn't quite say skeptical, but leaning towards that direction. And I said, you know what you need to do? You should go and write something warm and fuzzy and fluffy for the people. You know, put out some of that energy. You know, the sun was setting and it was just nice and I was feeling good. The roof was open. I said, you should just, because, you know, I can do it. You know, I can really do it, even though, and I'm really am that person. Now, true, I know some people who are really, I don't want to use the word hippies, but into that new age kind of thinking and all these different kinds of new age kind of thinkings to where, you know, love is just everything and happiness and rainbows. And, you know, I know a fairly amount of people like that. I also know people on the other side who are skeptical and scientists and, you know, just hardcore, you know, hardly no imagination, no beliefs, no faith. They don't even like to use the word, those words, you know, they don't even like to use the word spirit or anything, you know. And so, and I think I lie somewhere in the middle, and I think, you know, the real lies somewhere in the middle, but I tend to, you know, get what I pick and choose what I like from everything all the time and put it together, you know. So, and I said, you know, I need to, you know, write something that's going, you know, give some, you know, people a warm and fuzzy feeling, you know, harmony and love and rainbows. And so I started thinking about it because even though I would write something like that, I'm going to have to come from my perspective, and that's still going to be over the top with some over the top, what I think intellectual, philosophical Jeffrey, you know, realism to it. Because even though, you know, I used to give speeches and stuff in church, and regardless of how I felt about God and religion, I knew how to write and say things that didn't contradict with the way I felt, but was able to get the people going. You know, there's a balance. There's a balance between what I believed, what I knew the church believed, and what I knew what they wanted to hear. And there's a way you can put it out and deliver it. So I said, let me do that for them. You know, I'm going to put out something warm and fuzzy. And I got to thinking, and I started thinking about love. You know, love is the, I don't want to say highest. I forget what I wrote in my book, but love is up there. Consciousness is most high. Consciousness is the highest for me. Love, and I started thinking about love, is life-based. Love is life-based. A lot of people want to equate love with you know, it'll save the universe. Love will save the earth. Love is all we need. And I was thinking, you know, love is maybe can be contained in the earth biosphere. It may be man-made or earth life-based because, and it may just be, it's definitely a physical reaction. When you're in love, you act differently. You are different. You know, there's a physical change to the body and you probably operate better and are more capable. And in ways, if you look at dogs, they have a form of love. They're trained. It's a reaction almost because they're, you know, of a lower consciousness, so to speak, than we are. We can look and actually see that, you know, theirs is just a reaction and ours may be too, you know, or just a reaction. Love may just be a chemical reaction triggered, you know, but we may, because of our so-called highest consciousness, we look at it differently. We feel it's different. So it, but it's definitely something tangible, something that I think helped definitely or way beyond just helped the species become what it is today. I think it really had a significant effect on who and what we are. It not only in just procreation, but empathy and, you know, and also thinking that too, I'm realizing everybody does not have love. If love is physiologically or whatever, physical and like, you know, psychology, whatever, that means everybody's going to have it at different degrees. And there will be some people who won't be able to have it. Love is not universal. Love is definitely not universal. The way people feel about love is definitely not universal. The way love affects people is not universal. And there will be people out there who will never feel love, who can't or are incapable of having that chemical reaction in their body and get that warm and fuzzy feeling and go, oh, because like I said, I've had it. I know what it's like. And I've had it to the point at where I can damn near cut it on and turn it off at will. Sometimes it gets tricky. You know, cutting it off is hard sometimes because there's sometimes you just want to cut it off and you can't. Your head just won't let you just cut it off. And it takes a while and it kind of hurts your stomach and you're like, oh. But, you know, going in, you know, I can, you know, I've learned how to turn it on and have it be, oh, wow, yeah, that infatuated new thing, you know, and I turn that on. But you can feel it in your body. I can feel it in my body. I can feel it in my brain, my body, my energy level. I can just, you know, you feel it. It's like, and I'm not talking about sex. We're not talking about sex. We're not talking about, oh, I'm going to get some sex tonight. No, we're not talking about that. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about that feeling when you're like just sitting in a room you just ate. And, you know, she's sitting there or the person's just sitting in the room with you. And you're just thinking about the things you've done and where you're going to go and what you can be. And it just feels good. You know, it just feels good. It just comes all over your body, that part of it. And I think those of us who had that through our evolution and through our growth, it helped procreate. It helped social systems. It helped people probably stay together stronger. It evolved in us. And I think those who had it probably survived. Those who didn't probably didn't survive. And just like we did domesticated dogs, once again, we picked the dogs out who displayed the behavior that we was favorable to us, the dogs that, you know, and we kept those, you know. So now when you come home and your dog runs up to you, it's bred in him to do that. And another thing, and I don't want to be cynical again, but I'm going to have to go, a lot of people have taken this domesticated animal, dogs, and directly equated love with it and have relationships with these dogs that I feel are substitutes for what I don't want to say what really should be there, but they're substitutes for having relationships with human beings. I mean, because a dog, you know, is only going to give you so much. I mean, I know people, dog lovers out there probably going to be, oh, you don't know. But a dog is its consciousness and its understanding. I'm not saying they're dumb, you know. I'm not saying dogs are ignorant or anything, but you can't compare it to a human being. You can't compare having the same type of relationship with a human being. Sure, you can get something out of it. I don't want to put the pets down, but I think a lot of people, and I see so many dogs out there, so many pet owners, and the way pet owners treat their dogs, that, you know, they should be having those kind of relationships with humans. But I can't say that to anybody. Anybody can do what they want. It's a free country. You can do whatever you want. But for me, you want to, I prefer myself to express that kind of love and affection to another human being that will return it to me, because not because they're bred to, not because they're bred to, but because they can think about it and they can make a decision. And, you know, they think, okay, this is, you know, this, they're not like forced to, you know. But, what was I going to say? And that's where, you know, I'm thinking about love and everything, and love is the best. It's definitely the best physical feeling that a human being can have. It's definitely the highest physical thing, where consciousness is the most highest thing in the universe. Consciousness is the most highest. Love is definitely most, you know, physical thing. But then I started thinking, love is a reward. Love is not a solution. Love never solved anything. Love is the catalyst or the reward. Love is a motivator. But love is not a solution to nothing I can think of, you know. Love is a motivator. And I kind of want to apply that to prayer, too. Prayer is a motivator, is this and that, but prayer by itself ain't going to solve nothing. You know, you need something on top of it. And I don't want to put love down. And this is what I'm trying, and this all just came to me when I was trying to say something, you know, really love and warm. And, you know, it's just, I couldn't, it came back to the truth, you know. And then I thought, for our species, or humankind, to make that next level, to get through all this shit we're going through now, that people say, oh, the world is the world, that to get through that, there's some changes going to have to be made, and our understanding is going to have to change, and it's going to be difficult. It's going to be very difficult because there's some institutions that we believe in that for a long time that we have to change our way of thinking about them to get to the next level. This is just my opinion. To get to the next level and get to that utopian sort of existence on our planet, we are going to have to change our thinking. That's just obvious. The way we're thinking now is just not going to get us there. And it's worked. Everything worked. We're here now. So whatever happened worked. You know, we're here. We made it this far. This is an experiment. You know, we don't, you know, nobody has the game plan. We're all in this together. It's like 7 billion of us, and we're doing pretty damn good for 7 billion of us. But 300 million people in this country, and as diverse as we are and diverse as our thinking is, and, you know, half of us don't like each other, another half don't like each other, which I think is okay. You don't have to love everybody. Nobody has to love me. You just have to respect me, and don't hit me or beat me up or put your hands on me. You know, you don't have to give me a job. You can call me whatever you want. Just don't put your damn hands on me, and don't disrespect me, you know, to my face, because if you do, I have the right to, you know, retaliate, and that can escalate. But I mean, considering how diverse and how complicated and how unperfect we are, whatever perfect means, we're doing pretty damn well. You know, 300 million people, and we're not killing each other. And we have elections where people don't die, you know, well, at least not publicly, you know. And the thing going on now with the, you know, the racial tensions and all that stuff, that's a whole nother issue with the black, you know, police and the whole conflict thing. But, and I don't want to bring it up, but it's funny to me that a lot of these killings are of criminals, and they're criminals. I mean, maybe the police are, you know, brutal, or, but your soldiers have to be. You can't send your soldiers into battle and expect them not to be brutal. You know, you can't. You just can't. You can't send them. You get like our veterans. You can't send them over there to fight and kill people and expect them to come back and assimilate in society and drink milk and pet kittens. It's just not going to work. You know, and so, like, and police in Beverly Hills or Cupertino or wherever are going to be a lot different than the police down in Compton and Youngstown and, you know, Gary and all those different places. They're dealing with a different thing. You know, it's like the pretty cat that walks in the room. Some cats walk in the room and just brush up against you. You don't even know. You just brush up against you because it knows you want to pet it. It knows it's cute, and it knows you want to pet it. That is its experience. There's other cats that come in the room and they just, people react to them and they're scared. So when they walk in the room, they're like, you know, nobody wants to pet me. That has been my experience. So, you know, there's a lot going on, but. And I kind of, you know, strayed away from the topic, but that's what I do when I do these things. But love, and I came to the conclusion, love is a reward. It's not a solution. You need more than just love for the solution. And a lot of, I know a lot of people who, you know, in the new age thinking and, you know, hippie rainbow kind of, you know, love, harmony, peace. Why can't we? Because it takes more than just that. It takes more than just hope for things to get right. It takes more than just to say love is this, and, you know, God's gonna come back, and, oh, just do what God says, and Jesus and Allah, and just pray. It takes more than that. And I'm not even commenting on, you know, if God or Jesus or all that exists or not. I'm just saying it takes more than that. Unless God himself comes back here and lays out a game plan, to praying and asking and waiting is not going to help, you know, until we get a specific. And I think that's it. We need specifics. We need specifics. And I think that's where it's hard for me to be mushy and fuzzy, because I keep wanting to go back to specifics to get things fixed. There's a way that there's a way, and there's an understanding out there that can get this all fixed, whatever fixed means. You know, and we're on the right track. It's just, we just want it in a hurry. Some of us can see farther out and we want to get there, but we're slowly getting there because everybody ain't ready to make that leap, you know, and there's a lot of people who can't make that leap. And that may be a lot of problem, what you see in Baltimore and Ferguson and all these other places. Some of these people ain't coming with us. They just not going to be able to come with us no matter what we do. All the police brutality can go away. Police can just move and just leave them alone. They still going to have the same problems. They still going to be frustrated. You know, you get around all the crooked cops in the world, you still going to have the same problem you got. You know, you just ain't going to have nobody to blame it on. But, it we need specifics, we need answers, and like I said, I hear things from, you know, all sides and all people, and I pick and choose what I think will work, and I try to put together my plan. But the whole thing was to come together and say something all warm and fuzzy, and I guess being Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, you know, it just comes out the way it does.